Hi, I'm Will Johnson for Animal Planet. I'm here with wildlife expert and former co-host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Peter Gross. Today we'll be discussing this world-renowned award-winning nature series. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Will. Nice to talk to you again.
Well, Peter, tell us a little about the origins of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Well, it was originally conceived by Mutual of Omaha in the early 60s, and they had a program starting with Zoo Parade, and then it became Wild Kingdom. And then everybody knew the name. Marlon Perkins would sit on their couch with their family on Sunday afternoons and watch Marlon Perkins and Jim Fowler. Jim Fowler succeeded the late Marlon Perkins as host of the show in 1985 when Mr. Perkins had to step aside due to health reasons. And then I joined Jim Fowler in 1985 and started doing shows with him then.
Peter, why do you think Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom has been such an enduring success over the years?
Well, I think it's a wonderful show in that each episode of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom will contain a distinct message of promoting wildlife conservation. I think it's the kind of program that families know they can safely sit down with the entire family of any age and watch together and not have to be concerned about the content while they're learning about wildlife.
Well, Peter, let's back up. When did you first become involved with the series yourself?
Well, with the series, I had known Jim Fowler for years. I was involved with designing endangered species breeding programs, as was he at the time. And I was on the Johnny Carson show one evening with the world's largest litter of tiger cubs ever born that had to be hand-raised. So we did that show together, and at that time he approached me with the idea of helping him do some of the Wild Kingdom shows, and that's been the beginning of a wonderful career working with him.
Tell us a little bit about some of your experiences on the show.
Well, it was there's some amazingly exciting experiences to go from working with animals in captivity to being flown to the remote corners of the world. As a matter of fact, one of the very first shows I did was filming white sharks in a place called Dangerous Reef in Australia. And we actually had a 15-foot white shark try to swim into the cage with us. Soon after that, we went off to raft the Zambezi River and film elephants in Africa, which is all Class 5. So we spent about a week being dumped into the roaring river in Africa. And then after that, on down to back to the States to film catching alligators at night. And we ended up catching what they called nuisance gators, which are about 10 to 12-foot gators that put up quite a fight when you catch them. And then on up to do shows catching moose and caribou out of low-flying helicopters. So it was most of the shows were very, very exciting and not quite as predictable as I had anticipated.
The original series came to an end in 1985, but was resurrected by Animal Planet in 2002. How does today's Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom differ from the original run with Marlon Perkins in your point of view?
Well, it differs in many ways. The original Wild Kingdom shows were hosted by Marlon Perkins and then Jim Fowler. And they were shot with film in the very beginning. And a lot of the cutting-edge equipment that is now used in the making of Wild Kingdom hadn't even come to fruition yet. So, for instance, if you filmed lions drinking at a water hole, you'd hide in the bushes motionless for hours, hoping you wouldn't be smelled or noticed when they came up to do that. If it got cloudy in the afternoon, well, then you had to reshoot the next day because the film simply wouldn't match. Well, with today's techniques, you can actually set a camera there with a heat sensor, and as a lion walks up at any time of day, it's filmed automatically, as well as using satellite transponders and heat sensing cameras. It's completely changed the manner in which wildlife is filmed these days, and consequently a lot of behavior in the wild is seen that has never before been seen on camera.
Peter, you were featured in a Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom special last year called Cheetah Race Against Time. Tell us about that show.
That was a great show. It was sort of a wonderful, positive story about the power of one. A young lady named Dr. Lori Marker, who years ago developed cheetah breeding programs in the United States about the same time I was developing tiger breeding programs, and we would exchange animals at our prospective zoos to be sure the gene pools were pure. At that time, she then decided to pack up and move to Africa because she fell so in love with cheetahs and realized that the wildest cheetahs, the most densely populated country in the world with cheetahs was in Namibia in Southwest Africa. So she relocated her family to Africa, started driving from farm to farm, trying to talk ranchers and farmers into not shooting cheetahs, instead using guard dogs that she gave to them and introduced, and it works very well. The guard dogs simply run with the herds of cattle and sheep and goats, and the cheetahs are afraid to come near them. And it's a real success story of how one person has affected saving wildlife in Africa.
Well, other than that cheetah special, what have been some of your favorite episodes since the return of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom?
Well, one of my favorites, I think, is Global Wolf, because Global Wolf tells a great story and dispels a lot of big, bad wolf stories that a lot of us were raised with. I mean, think of all the analogies that compare danger and death with wolves, when in fact there has never been the case of a human being ever being killed by a wolf. So this actually portrayed the wolves how they really are, that we can coexist with them, that they are making a comeback in some places. I don't think it's going to be that long before we're going to get to see wolves coming off the endangered species list in this country. Another one of my favorites, of course, is the Great Cats of India, having a love for cats, as does the famous photographer Alphonse Roy, who filmed this. And I tried to film tigers in Chitwan National Forest in India years ago, and they were so aloof that you could barely get a shot of them. Well, he has developed this wonderful relationship with the cats over the years, so he could get within 50 feet, and I saw some of the most amazing footage I've ever seen of tigers being filmed in the wild.
Peter, in your opinion, what have been the most exciting, fascinating, or otherwise memorable moments of the last 4 years?
Well, I think that the Sea Snake show really took my breath away. We filmed sea snakes years ago in Australia, and I had complete respect for them because they're so venomous. They're 10 times more venomous than a rattlesnake. And my impression of the sea snake show is that it's a wonderful look into the life of sea snakes that live only on the island of Niue, this very remote Pacific island in the South Pacific. The Catawali sea snake is one of the largest, lives on one of the largest coral reefs in the world, and it was amazing to get a look at a researcher who daily gets down and handles sea snakes. Well, I think we were able also to dispel rumors about these highly venomous snakes looking for people to bite, when in fact local people who live on the island actually respect them. They coexist with them very comfortably. These sea snakes have a very small mouth and very small fangs, and they are actually not aggressive towards people at all. So that was a very exciting show, and that was a real eye-opener, I thought, for people.
Well, Peter, would you say there's an underlying message or theme behind the shows on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom?
Well, I think there continues to be an underlying theme, as there always has been, and that is that taking people into wild places and filming animals and educating them in an exciting and realistic way, letting them see how wildlife lives in its natural habitat, will connect people with the natural world, and as a result, we hope that it'll affect their attitudes in terms of conservation towards wildlife and wild places.
Peter, where would you say the series is headed, and are you excited about that direction?
Oh, I think it's got a great future. I think it'll continue to run in the future as many years as it has in the past. The demographic that Animal Planet brings is perfect. This is a wonderful younger venue for the shows to run. People are just so interested now in conservation and wildlife and wanting to know what they can do to help. And Animal Planet and Mutual of Omaha does a wonderful job helping teach people not only how animals live in the wild, but making recommendations and solutions about what can be done so we can all participate in conservation.
Well, Peter, thanks for talking to us. Any final thoughts, anything you'd like to mention?
Well, I think probably the most important thing teachers and adults can do, and that is that we focus on, as we do in so many of the new shows, on the good things that are happening in conservation, the positive stories, the species of animals that are making a comeback, the problems that have been identified that now we know what we can do to help save wildlife and save wild places. I think that we need to be careful that we just don't talk about gloom and doom and create this attitude that maybe it's too late for our planet, when in fact it absolutely is not. Our planet does have some serious problems. We're reacting to them. It's resilient. And there are many, many positive stories about wildlife and wild places making a comeback. So I think we need to continue to share that positive message with young people so they don't think it's too late. I think it's our obligation to continue to create hope.
All right, Peter Gross, thanks once again.
And thank you, Will. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Peter Gross is a wildlife expert and former co-host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.